I'm really grateful to like fellows who helped me along the way as well.
How did they help you?
Oh my god. So I got my second show called Lion Moms.
Yes.
Okay, it's the third season. I didn't know about the audition. In fact, it was my follower who submitted my profile to the production house.
Oh, you have the best followers.
Yes. And after that, when the production house actually confirmed and said, oh, maybe you want to get him down for an audition. For an audition. That's when he told me, oh, actually I sent your profile to this production house.
And
they like
it and please come for audition.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my god. It's like, if it's not for him, I wouldn't know there's an audition going on.
Hi, this is Eric here and you're listening to Hashtag Highly Sought After.
In today's episode of Hashtag Highly Sought After, we have with us a very young, charming man who is here on the studio with us. He is an influencer on Instagram, and in 2018, he had his very first big break on Toggle TV as Ron in Emerald Hill High. And ever since then, he's seen on television. He has also been very popular on Instagram. But what's most important is we managed to get him out of his busy schedule to spend some time with us. We're going to walk down memory lane and extract some very helpful lessons on how he rise to fame. Ladies and gentlemen, Benjamin Tan.
Hi.
If you look him up on Instagram, he's known as Ben Voda. So maybe we start with that. Like, why Ben Voda?
Oh my god.
It's like, Yoda.
That's like a very interesting story.
Yeah.
Like, people say, is it Yoda? Is it vodka? You like drinking vodka? Yeah. Is it? I'm like, no.
So why?
You know, when we started vlogging and stuff, you had to create like a URL, a username.
Correct.
So I'm like, okay, it has to be Ben. You know, it's my name, Ben.
Yeah.
So it has to be something Ben or Ben something. So I'm like, okay, let's think about it. It took me one whole day.
Yeah.
And I was like, a study room. And I was like, okay, looking around. I was like, oh, that's my phone box. I was using BlackBerry phone back then.
Correct.
It was a Voda phone. Well, so that's like, Ben Voda.
I'm so glad he didn't have other things around him, you know? Can you imagine you have a condom? Imagine you have a condom box, like Durex, and then it'll be Ben Rex. Hey, oh Ben Rex might actually be nice.
That's quite nice.
Ben Rex. Yeah, I kind of like it. So tell us a little bit about your backstory. How do you got started in the influencer world?
Wow, it goes all the way back to like secondary three.
Wow. I never thought I would hear the word secondary three.
I know, right? I think that's like
People might not be familiar with secondary three because we have people outside of Singapore. So secondary three would be when he was 15 years old.
Yeah.
15, right?
Yeah. Yes, that's a good like 11 years ago.
So
blogging was the in thing among classmates, be it for like personal diary or like, you know, just for, you know, putting fun stuff out there or blog shops.
Yes.
In fact. So I'm like, okay, let's do it, let's try to do it. So I set up my own blog. And back then I always read Xia Xue's blog.
Xia Xue!
Yes.
So woo! She's like, she was on our very first episode of
Hashtag Highly Sought After.
Awesome. Okay. You have a fan.
Yes. So it's like, you know, she's like, whoa, the goddess back then, you know, everybody. I mean, till now she still is. Back then she's like up there, we're like, oh my god, she's like way more higher than celebrity. So we're like, okay, I'm gonna be like her, I'm gonna be like her. So I create a blog, you know, try to do like blog design here and there, but I feared doing it. So I even watched like a guide to life to learn how to Photoshop my photos.
Nice.
So that's how I actually started.
She got introduced to the blogging world.
Yes.
Okay, and then
correct.
What
and
happened
then,
next?
I think people helps, like I have this friend called Yutakis. He actually introduced me to my first ever event as a blogger.
Okay.
It's a big event at HTC.
Okay.
So when HTC is still around in Singapore.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh wow, I can go to this concert under HTC. I was like, okay, let's just go and make fun and have some fun and make some friends, you know.
Correct.
So I went, had fun at the concert, blah blah blah. And fast forward, like 1 month down the road, HTC contacted me and said, hey Ben, we actually like to work with you and we'll be like sponsoring you like new phones every now and then and tablets. So yes, I got free phones and tablets back then.
At 15 years old, you have many free phones.
Yes, and that was a big thing back then, you know, like you don't have to get paid or anything.
Correct.
You know, getting freebies was like, whoa, I made it already, I feel I made it, you know, like it's kind of like, wow, I'm a nobody. So now I'm working with a big brand like HTC and that's correct. Like my first ever brand I worked with.
Your friends, how do your friends react?
Wow, my friends are like, oh my god, you got a free phone? Give me one. Oh. It's like every month I change one new phone and they'll be like, wow, you're so rich. I'm like, no, it's free. They're like, wow, even better, free phone.
At 15 years old, that probably gave you a very big ego boost, right?
Yes, it was really a big ego boost.
And then from there, how do you got onto social media?
From there, okay, so after that, fast forward like 1-2 years later, Instagram happened.
which was in 2010.
Yes. Instagram happened. And it was very, very new back then. So nobody actually really used Instagram. Correct. We're like, oh, there's this new app that can post photos and share with your friends.
Correct.
It's like a Facebook, but without the text.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm like, okay, let's just try it. And back then, it was like with the old vintage logo.
Yes.
And they even have like templates with like frames. Yeah. Oh my God, so long ago.
So what did you first post? Let's take a look.
Let's take a look
at Ben's very first post.
I remember it was a photo of my hamster.
Okay, thanks. Hamster. So animal pictures does work.
Yeah, so this was my very first photo.
Hamster, alright.
Eating his food.
Can you see it?
His name was Sugar, I think.
Sugar.
Yes.
La, la, la. And our baby Sugar. Yeah, you're right. And
yes.
And by then, he already had 71 people engaging with him, right?
Yes, correct.
So what were you initially posting a lot of?
It was more about food, random stuff.
Random.
Nobody actually curates their content back then.
That's true.
Everybody was just like, snap, post. Because nobody ever knew where Instagram would bring us back then. It was just like, oh, a platform to post photos and put some caption. Done. That's it.
I see. Then I noticed your photos started changing, right?
Yes.
Is there a reason why?
I guess it happens to be the trends back then.
Okay.
So it started off with like just snapping random photos.
Correct.
And I guess that was the period whereby minimalist is the theme.
I got it. Yes. So in the early 2010 as well.
Yes,
right?
Very long.
Which is the reason why all your photos have very those
like just one hair, one photo, one candy box, etc. You know, just keep it simple and clean.
So now I wish life continues being a minimalist life, right?
Oh my God, yeah, really.
So okay, that was phase two. Then how did it transit? What was the next phase?
The next phase was just like, I think after you gain more confidence about yourself,
yes,
you tend to post more photos of yourself to show your friends. Like, yeah, like just, oh, today I'm doing this, cheeky, okay, I did this. Like, I did this today, okay, with me, hi, today.
So a little bit more like documenting what you do in your life.
So it transit from like posting random photos to following trends and then like, oh, it should be about me now, you know?
How do you, still remember when you hit your 1,000 followers?
Yes, it was on Chinese New Year back in 2015.
Okay, so let's backtrack. So you went to Instagram, you got on Instagram in 2010, right? 10. 5 years later, you got your 1,000 followers.
Yes, after 5 long years.
But that's also because you were not even intentionally trying to get
precisely,
followers.
Precisely, yes. So I was very excited. I remember I was in Batam with my family for Chinese New Year. And when I saw the notification, I was like, 1,000 likes! I'm like, whoa!
Which one feels better, getting a free HTC phone or getting 1,000 likes?
I guess it's different face, so it's not comparable. But like hitting the 1,000 more, it's like, whoa!
It was a big break.
Yes, I mean, that's like, there's always like different milestones, right?
Correct.
First, you get sponsorship, then thing that's off the list.
Check.
Second one must hit 1,000 likes.
Checked.
And next time you have to get a K.
You know, it's always so on a thank K.
Yes.
So you can do the swipe up.
Yes.
Do you do anything different from 1,000 followers to 10,000 followers? I mean, right now, Ben has about 40,000 followers, right? Plus.
40, yeah.
Yeah, going to hit 50. But during your first phase, that 1,000 to 10,000, was there anything that you did different?
I think back then, no. There wasn't much of a difference per se because people were just like posting photos. Obviously, we want to post something nice.
Okay.
So we'll just edit the photos.
So you started being more conscious about the photos you post.
But that's about it, you see. So, but fast forward when the years come where more photos are getting, you know, higher quality photos,
correct,
more influencers out there fighting for you, with you and stuff. Wow, the game really changed.
How has it changed for you?
For me, it's a bit... For me, I wouldn't say that I changed much per se. I still keep to what I do best because
which
I realized
what do you
that
do best?
I will post lifestyle photos.
Okay.
Yes.
Maybe explain to the people watching this. What to you, what's a lifestyle photo?
Lifestyle photo is usually, it's still created in the sense that you're taking a selfie.
Okay.
Right? But you don't purposely like post like, oh, I flip my skirt out here and that, you know? I rest those photos don't work for me.
Ah, okay.
Yes.
So what worked for you is just taking a camera and just snapping a picture.
Yes.
And then telling them what you're doing. Right now.
Yes.
Like right now.
It's mostly selfies. Like, oh, you see, I'm doing an interview right now here. Or
Do it. Show us.
Right.
So, okay, let's say, for example, you know, you're all alone right now and you're preparing for the interview. How would you do it?
Correct.
How would you take
so
a selfie?
So, what happens if I take my phone, like, oh, he's preparing.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm preparing,
going through his script and stuff. So, just take a photo and maybe with him in the background with, like, whatever, a cup of water and stuff. Like, hey, take a photo, just edit here and there.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll post. And the thing is, like, caption wasn't planned as well.
It back then, it wasn't
back
that important.
Back then, it wasn't that important. It was just like, oh, like, let's say a post full of my food, I'll be like, oh, my lunch today, full stop.
Oh, just like that?
It was just like that.
So,
or like, interview, like, oh, we're having an interview now, looking forward to it, full stop.
So two things, I'm sure everybody want to ask you this. Could it be that because of the way you look, that's why you get a lot of followers?
Wow.
Do you have that concern?
I don't think so.
No?
Like
because they say, right, on Instagram, it's a lot about the visual, right?
Yeah.
So if you look good, you tend to have a lot more followers. Is that true?
I guess, yes. I mean, obviously, everybody wants to see something nice on their feed, right? I mean, correct. If you post a lot of pimples, people will be like, oh, no.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess that helps a bit. But to me, I've always not been like very confident on my own looks as well. So yeah. I've always doubted myself.
So how do you overcome that?
Wow, overcome. I think really thanks to my followers. Because my followers always like will be encouraging you, be like, oh, you look so good. And after they add in the direct message function
correct.
On Instagram, I get more of those. Because I guess some people are just shy posting in public comments. Yes.
So they'll privately comment.
Yes, they'll comment me. So I guess that really helps because you know that people out there, as much as you don't know them, it's just virtual.
And
you know?
The key thing is to, I always tell them, right, go where you're celebrated. Because you put your photo out there, there might be 5 people who like it, 5 people do not like it.
Correct.
And you focus on the 5 who like it. And these are your fans.
You have to feel good about posting that photo. That's the important thing.
Say that again. I think that's an important point. What do you have
to feel good posting that photo out there. Because if you don't feel good about it yourself, there's no point in having like 1 million people like it, but you don't like the photo.
So post it for yourself first.
Yeah, I mean, an ape also can get like so many millions like it.
Yeah, that's true. I remember posting a cat picture. Cats work.
Yes.
But I post it without thinking too much about it. But when I analyzed, I was very demoralized because I realized when you put my photo beside a cat picture, the cat actually got a lot more likes
than me.
Sometimes
it's always the unexpected photos that does better than the rest. You realize this.
Okay, so the crazy, unexpected. Is there any other post that did very well for you on Instagram?
Did very well for
me. Yeah, do you remember any posts? That shock you, that go like, whoa, I didn't expect that this post would get so many likes.
Wow, memorable one? There's quite a few here and there.
Okay.
But it's really those kind of just take a selfie. Mostly selfie is very weird. That's why I say for me, it's very tough to like strategize what to post because those created ones like, oh, let's go to this cafe and take some nice photos.
Correct, flat lace
let's,
and all
oh,
that.
Yeah, chill, let's
doesn't
post.
Work for you.
Oh my god, no. I mean, it still garner like likes and good comments,
but not as much.
No.
So people follow you because you're unassuming and it's just a photo of
I
yourself.
I guess they're able to relate better as like a so-called, what people say, like boy next door kind of thing.
Yeah.
Not so much of like a pretentious shot.
So you need to continue being that boy next
door.
Now I want to ask you something. When you started getting your free phones and you got your 1,000 followers and all that, did that get into your head?
Oh, yes. I guess that's a big part. That's a very big issue. Like when you start getting like so-called fame, gain more followers and stuff, and you work with more brands, you tend to feel like, oh, there's an ego boost. And that kind of ego boost is really very big. It's huge.
How did it manifest for you?
Well, for me, it got to my head to the sense that it makes me feel like I look down on some other people. Like, oh, you're just an influencer with that amount of likes.
So you started looking at people by the number
and
of influencers.
I guess it reflects as a person. When you meet me, you feel it from me. And online presence as well back then.
Okay, let's go in there. Because obviously, guys, he's not like that. Okay, he has more followers than me right now. And I don't feel it. But I want to know, what were you like before? So let's say you met somebody who has half your followers. How would you respond around him?
Right, I was just saying, oh, hi, but that's it. That's it.
Oh, wait.
That's it for the night.
Ben is an actor, okay? So let's do a bit of a show and tell. So imagine I only got 1,000 followers.
Okay.
How would you say hi to me?
So obviously, the media person will introduce us, right? Yeah. Oh, this is who. Yeah. I'm like, oh, hi.
Then
after the rest of the night, I just walk away.
Okay, so that's 1,000 followers. If I got 10,000 followers, how would you respond?
Oh my god, back then, 10,000 followers, I would be like standing around there, you know, trying to make eye contact. And, this is nice, right? Like, trying to make small conversation.
Yeah, it's very nice. The water is very nice to drink.
But, do you want me to take a photo for you?
Let's take a photo.
Making it so fake, you know?
Yeah, like, so superficial.
Looking back, I'm like, oh my god, who's that person?
Wait, but I have to give you credit because it means that before you come for an event, you kind of already know how many followers are there.
You can roughly has. Sometimes you'll know who will be there.
Feels like a computer game where you go into the scene, right? You see people's life there and a level 5 like Dota like that, you know?
Oh my god,
level 10,
yes.
Level 20. So all those less than you one, you were ignoring.
I guess it helps that back then the influencer community is very small, so you kind of know who is in it, who is not in it.
Okay.
Yes.
So those that have low, you don't even talk to them. But those equal amount with you, would you talk to them?
Oh yeah, we'll hang out together. Then we're like,
you hang out.
Yeah, we're like, hey, let's go to this event together. Like, let's go.
So then the highest one is you take photos with them.
Yeah, so we're like, oh my god, that's a who this is. You know, that kind of thing.
And then what you do?
And then we'll just stand. Sometimes they are too high level. We'll just stand one side. Just fan boiling over there.
Do you manage to take a photo with Xiaxue back then?
Oh yes, I think I have one.
How do you approach her?
It was like, my friend who went ahead. I was like, hey, help me. I want to ask someone to take a photo. He said, okay, help me ask. Then she just went. She wants to take a photo of you. And she was very nice. She was very, very nice. You know, despite her achievement and everything, she was like, okay, sure. So you just take a photo of me. I'm like,
okay. So that was how you hustle. So
Yes.
I mean, obviously, you're not like that now. What changed? Why suddenly you became a lot more grounded and you don't judge people based on the number of followers they have?
I guess entering the working society helps a lot, you know, when everything...
It's like a slap on your face.
It's like, wake the hell up, man.
Okay, what happened? What was your first job?
Well, so my first job, I worked in a PR agency. So I was interning there initially. Yeah. So that's where I become the person behind the screen.
Yes.
You know, I have to work with influencers, I have to work with clients, so I have to manage on both ends.
Correct.
And then I realized that actually for the PR person, it's actually a very tough job. You have to like do a lot of handle the attitudes of the influencers, which I know why is it so tough for people back then, because I was the one giving attitude.
Yeah, oh my god, you got a taste of your own medicine.
Yes! Come on, come on.
Yeah, I think karma comes one round.
It just stares me in the face again.
Yeah. So you got a chance to experience it, and then how?
Yes, and I felt that, you know, when it comes to life, like really come back to earth, right? When you're on earth, you really feel like sometimes it'll be genuine to people. Because no matter how much you've achieved, if you have bad personality or character, you won't be well liked by a lot of others.
How do you know that you're not well liked? Did anyone talk about you?
Oh my god, yes. And back then, Twitter was still a thing. At least in Singapore, it was still a thing back then.
It's still popular. Twitter is still
very
popular.
I guess not in Singapore, I guess.
No more?
Not really. I mean, it's still around, but hardly anything.
I think the business people will use it. To read news and
I guess it's more popular in the States then.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
So people openly mention me and say, oh, this person is so disgusting. He's so ugly, but he acts like he's everything, blah, blah, blah.
Shit, they say that?
Yes, they say that every single thing they can think of, they will say.
How do you deal with it? Do you read it?
Whoa, I read it. I read every single of them.
What are like the most memorable, horrible stuff that you read about yourself?
He looks so ugly. He should just blame his mother for giving birth to him to this world.
That's...
I'm like, oh, God.
That's number two.
Number two will be like, I guess it's really all about looks. Like, oh my god, with his face, people still follow him and he still thinks he can get sponsorship.
Oh, okay. That was quite evil.
Third one will be like, oh, did he just got run over by a truck? Because he just looked like he tried to recover from it, but he's still in the midst of recovery.
Well, I don't envy your world, man.
Yeah, so it's that
so
bad.
Mean.
And because I think as a 15, 16-year-old back then,
it hit you, right?
It's very hard to manage all this thing back then.
Okay, how do you do it? Do you cry? Or do you cry.
You cry? Really cry. And you go to event like, you know, feeling you're so depressed because you never knew which one of them are there. Like, is it you?
Yeah, it looks like the guy who ate the satay is looking at me right now.
Yes, like, yes. You get very self-conscious of your surrounding and you become so, you know, you just close up entirely from the whole, wow, it was bad. Bad.
Okay, well, I respect you for that.
Yeah.
And then, do you have any positive countermeasures
oh my
that
God.
Help you to feel better?
No, not really.
So you just take all
you
that
just
in.
Take it in. And I'm a very introvert person.
Okay.
So I don't really talk about my problems to eat my family, friends, nobody. I always keep it to myself. So when I go through this phase, my family and friends just see the good side. Like, oh, he's getting sponsored, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
But behind the scenes, really, a lot of this kind of shit.
So how do you deal with it?
Just cry.
Cry it out and then move on.
Just move on, yeah.
Wow. Respect.
It's really tough, but you just have to really... bite it and just go through it.
And so that was that phase of your life where Ben was, it's not Ben Boda, it's Ben Ego. Right? The Ben Ego phase. And then you went to work and you realized you get a taste of your own medicine.
Yes.
And that's when you start to kind of ground yourself a little
bit. Yeah, I guess age also plays.
You're still very young. Yeah, but
I'm not that young.
But you have experienced something for yourself.
Yeah, I think work experience with life and society really builds your character and as a person, I guess.
Hey, this is Eric here, just dropping in to check in on you. Are you getting value so far from this interview? Because if you are, I'm very happy for you. And I'm really curious to know what are some of the key takeaways. So after the interview, go to social media, screenshot your learnings and tag me, all right? So that we can connect. Okay. I'm going to leave you to listen to the rest of the interview. Enjoy.
So who are the people that follow you right now?
Wow.
40,000 followers now, are they all like all Singaporeans?
No, surprisingly, they are mainly from Asia, but mostly they are from Hong Kong, Taiwan.
Oh, yes. That reminds me. You know, guys, how do I know Ben Voda? Was one day I was hanging out with my friends in Hong Kong at a networking event, and then I introduced myself. I said, I'm Eric from Singapore. And I, oh, you're from Singapore? Do you happen to know this guy? He's an influencer. His handle is Ben Voda. Like, Ben Voda? Is he like from Star Wars or something? Yeah, check you out. I was like, no, I have no idea who he is. And that was 2 years ago. That's how I got to know you. How do you have followers from so far away? How do people from Hong Kong and Taiwan know about you?
Well, that's the thing, you know, with all the algorithm thing in play and stuff, we never know how to grow the numbers and we never know where they come from. That's the thing. I mean, we do know where they come from, but we don't know how they got to know you.
Amazing.
I mean, if you just look through the explore feed, you can see people from all around the world now, like from the States, everywhere.
True.
So
that's true.
It's a tough game.
Maybe
now.
Let's talk about TV. Yeah. How do you got your first big break in 2018?
Yes.
Emerald Hill High, right?
Wow. Okay, so backstory would be like, I started off as an extra with my friend for 2 whole years, thinking I love acting since young. You know, I've always wanted to be on TV, go up the stage and say, oh, thank you, mom and dad, for giving this.
You actually do that at home? Do you take your shampoo bottle?
I do that at home when I was a kid.
I did that too. But look, we'll see where you are.
You're somewhere too now, man.
Okay, so you wanted to be an actor?
Yes.
And then?
But because of lack of confidence,
yes.
I'm always very shy in front of cameras. So it's a miracle that I'm like in front of 3 cameras today, you know?
3 cameras right
now. So I'm very shy. I can be like very outgoing, very spontaneous at home in front of a mirror.
Yes.
But once you put me in front of a camera, I'm like, freeze up.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's very weird. So, 3 years back, my friend said, hey, why don't you go be an extra? I said, okay, since I can't act, maybe I go be an extra and maybe see what's going on behind the scenes.
What shows were you on?
So I was on this Chinese show called Doppelganger with Fan Wong, Christopher Lee, all the big stars. Rebecca Lee. I was like,
Do you take pictures of them? Yes. Extras are allowed to interact with the actors and actresses?
I think as long as you know your limits, don't go overboard.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I think they're fine. Usually they're fine. Yeah.
And you do your typical selfie band.
Yeah, but I can take a photo with you. They're like, okay, sure. Like, oh, they're nice too.
Do they follow you back? Like,
no,
you tag
obviously
them,
not.
It's okay. So
one day, ghost.
Yeah. Ghost or is ghost?
My life goes.
Oh, your life goal. Like, one more check for you.
Yeah,
right?
Man.
How did that extra for 2 years led to your big break?
So from the 2 years, I remember my very first extra role was an extra in A Boys to Men.
Mm. I'm going to try to find you in that movie.
Yeah, extra, so I was the one doing I was doing River Crossing.
1 year. The first one.
No, I think it was the third or the fourth. Was that fourth?
I don't know how many
there are. I think the fourth one. The last one.
The Navy one. The water one.
The Army one. So there was the River Crossing.
Okay.
I was the one River Crossing.
You were there?
Yes, I was the one doing the River Crossing.
Guys, let's go spot him. We'll go find him.
Yeah, so that was my first ever extra gig.
Okay.
I was like, oh, it's quite nice. You know, people are nice. The crew is nice.
Oh, okay.
And I get to see how people actually film everything behind the scene. So I'm like, okay, this is how it works. But after 2 years, I'm like, oh, you know, you can't pay the bills. Because the amount I get from extra is very, very little.
What? How much? Do you mind sharing?
I don't mind. It's like maybe $30 to $50 for 1 whole day.
And a lot of waiting, right?
I mean, but you know, that's the phase you have to go through. At least for me, I felt like it's an experience.
Yeah.
At least I get to learn because I've never been to acting classes or anything. So that itself is a lesson for me,
you know?
Yeah. So I wasn't complaining. My mom was like, oh my God, it's long hours. It's like more than 12 hours per day. You earn $50. I'm like, it's not about earning the money.
Yeah, it's like going to Universal Studio, right? It's like that you get paid for it.
Correct.
So how did it happen?
2 years, I'm like, okay, I'm going to find a job. Because I got into like a real job, right? So I went to work. And halfway through, like around in 2018, around March, I guess, that's where the first production house actually approached me and said, oh, we have this new Togger series coming
on Instagram. Contacted you on Instagram.
Through email.
Oh, they found you. Okay.
Yes. So they said, oh, well, you have this production coming out. We would like you to play Ron, this character Ron, and blah, blah, blah. Would you like to come down for an audition? I'm like, sure, why not? You know, no losses and everything.
Correct.
Just go. So I went for the audition in March. And initially, they told me that the filming will be in June.
Yes.
But up till May, I didn't hear a single thing from them. Then I'm like, okay, it's okay. Let's move on with life. It's nothing new. You know, getting rejected is nothing new to me.
Oh, really?
Okay, let's just move on.
So you went to a lot of auditions before?
Yes. But I feel because I was so scared.
Scared in front of TV.
Yes, correct.
Okay,
so I'm like, nothing new. Let's just move on. But in July, that's when I got an email from them saying, hey, do you remember us? Like, we would like to cast you as Ron. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, is this happening?
You saved the email? I mean, or email.
I have it in email. I'm like, oh my God. Okay, so I went and I said, are you sure you are getting me to be Ron? I said, yes. I was like, oh, whoa.
And did they tell you why you got it?
Oh, yes. So Ron is an introvert. It's a very quiet.
You're just being yourself.
Yes. And shy character, you know.
Yes.
So he was telling me after the whole production wrap, that's when he told me that, you know, initially we were quite afraid to cast you because, you know, you don't have much experience. If I have no experience at all. He said, but during the audition, you acted very well because you were just so shy and awkward in front of the camera. That's totally wrong. Then in my heart, I'm like, But just me. I wasn't acting.
So you were being yourself.
Yeah.
So Ron was Ben Boda.
So it's quite funny how I got my first role because I was just being myself, being the awkward me in front of camera.
How did that open doors for you?
Whoa. I really, really have to thank the production house for Emerald Hill High because of that, it builds up my confidence. Because as a person in front of camera, as an actor in front of camera, the cast and the crew actually like really, they were very patient with me. They in fact like guided me how to act, don't be afraid. And they were very patient. There was no losing of temper, no nothing. Everybody was just very caring. So I guess that builds up the confidence of like acting in front of camera and working in front of a huge crowd. And in fact, filming in public spaces. Oh. So I'm like, whoa, that really helps to build up. And because of that, I guess followers grew also.
Yes.
And I'm really grateful to like followers who helped me along the way as well.
How did they help you?
Oh my God. So I got my second show called Lion Moms.
Yes.
Okay, it's the third season. I didn't know about the audition. In fact, it was my follower who submitted my profile to the production house.
Oh, you have the best followers.
Yes. And after that, when the production house actually confirmed and said, oh, maybe you want to get him down for an audition, for an audition, that's when he told me, oh, actually, I sent your profile to this production house.
And they like it and please come for audition.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my God. It's like, if it's not for him, I wouldn't know there's an audition going on.
And you went for the audition.
I went for the audition. And as the audition, I have to act as like a 15-year-old
introvert too?
Student. No.
Awkward.
As a gangster.
Gangster? You hardly look like
so
a gangster.
All the roles I've gotten so far is never me in a way.
But
if you think about it.
Fish in the water for you? Was it easier?
I guess it was much easier. When I went for the audition, right? It was like, oh, okay, I got a strip. Okay, so act out in front. I just act out. It was very carefree. Right? It felt different. Me and myself can feel the difference between now and previously when I was auditioning way back, blindless and aimlessly.
Okay, and yes, still no training, but that's how you got all your
Yes, yes. I guess confidence really helps a lot, and experience you get on set. Yeah, I guess the crew really helps a lot as well. That really helps a lot. Because if you have like crews that are nasty and stuff, that'll be a bad experience where you're like, oh.
Were there any other sweet things that your followers done for you besides like submitting your portfolio to
my God,
audition
houses? Very same follower knew that I always had issues with like eye bags and dark eye circles. So he went to bought one whole carton of like eye cream and eye mask just for me.
Guys, I won't mind having a box of eye cream and eye lotion too.
What,
I don't mind
really
being on TV too, so you can submit my portfolio. I would do something with Ben later on. You can submit that one, okay?
It's really one whole book. I was like, whoa, it's a
so
1 year
blessed
supply. And when I go for events, like when followers know that I'm at that particular event, they'll be like, oh, it's 6 p.m. They went to buy dinner for me. And they were like, oh, it's 6 p.m. your event and we know that you won't have time for dinner. So I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, don't spend money on me. Don't ever spend money on me. It's very nice of you guys, but it's just, no, don't spend money on me.
So tell me what's the Ben magic you have there. Like, why are your followers so nice to you? Is there something that you did that got them to be so nice?
I guess it helps. For me, at least, is that for every single comment or direct messages I receive, I'll reply to every single one of them. Yeah, so on Instagram, no matter 100 plus comments or 5 comments, I'll always reply personally to every single one. I guess very personal, you have to build like a relationship with them instead of just like being less like another follower out of your many hundreds of thousands.
Correct.
Or, you know,
so that was one. Any other things that you have done that you felt caused them to be drawn to you?
I guess it's the personal touch. Like, it's just how they're able to relate with my photos and my postings from day to day. Because I'm very, how to say, nowadays I'm more true to myself on social media.
Yes.
Like if I'm upset, I'll just say that I'm upset. Kind of thing. I won't purposely portray that, oh, happy
always
images.
Happy.
I mean, that's never real. Like, come on, guys.
So would you say that Instagram became a canvas for you to document your life?
Yes, but obviously, you know, social media is like a double-edged sword, right?
In what sense? What do you mean?
Okay, so you can put your life out there,
yes,
but there's always like a limit to how much you can put out there. Mm. You should never post too much emo stuff online as well, which is the thing that I'm trying to learn now, because sometimes we get too upset, you post a lot of stuff, and that actually turns brands off, turns people off.
Oh, it turns brands off. Okay,
yes.
Because brands need you to be in a certain
image and stuff at least, because after all, you are representing their brand.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you're like too, like, how, I don't know, too revealing, too sexy, or maybe too emo, people will be like, oh, maybe this is not the right one.
For the brand.
Correct.
So would you say that brands are looking for a certain characteristic? Are there that universal 2 to 3 characteristics that brands are looking for whenever they go for sponsors?
For brands, I guess personality always works.
What kind of personality? Or
I think it depends on the brand itself.
Oh.
Yeah, so let's say if you're like a sports brand. Obviously, you need somebody that's fitness, yes, into fitness and outgoing and correct stuff, you know. So, but if you're looking at beauty brands, you wouldn't be looking at guys, right? Most of the time, you wouldn't. You look at girls who uses that brand as well. That would relate it, make it more relatable. Mm. But the thing now is that because of the algorithm on Instagram nowadays, it's very tough to manage all these expectations of the brands because numbers works nowadays.
For them.
Yeah, mm, works for them. You know, they have to submit their reports as well at the end, yeah, of the month, you know. So, but because of the algorithm, wow, my number is like...
Understand. But I would say that, having said that, yes, these are all just numbers, right?
Yes.
But having said that, the truth of the matter is that your followers really put you, you know, as number one star.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And I, from you, I've learned that the reason is because you are very personal with them. Mm. And you are... What we see on Instagram is what we see in life.
Or yeah, at least
an aspect of you, and that's authentic, right?
Right, right.
How do you stay authentic? Or how are you going to remain authentic in the next... Wow. I mean, you just started, you know, this whole journey of being an actor, an influencer.
Well, I think remaining authentic is one thing that people always have trouble with, especially, yeah, when fame hits you.
Exactly. Right? And it hit you once before, it's going to hit you again.
Yeah, so it's always a constant reminder. So what I do is I'll always ask my friend as well, like, do you realize any change with me recently after I've done this?
Yes.
And some of them previously they'll say, oh yeah, you actually turn a bit like, you know,
snobbish
and stuff, and your behavior, your small, minor micro expressions from here and there. Maybe if you could take note of that a bit and stuff.
Wow, that is awesome, yeah, that your friends
so
like
I guess
that.
It's really a self-reflection, but ask people around you. Because when you ask yourself, most of the time you won't find fault with yourself.
Yeah, it's a blind spot.
It's a blind spot, yes. Blind so you spot. Ask your friends, you know, and I guess to me now is, as long as you're doing something that doesn't harm others, that's good enough.
So the people watching this video, right? I do not know. Some of them may aspire to be a TV star like you. But what I do know is that many of them are in service profession, right? They are in financial service, they are in real estate, they are in direct marketing for health. They are all building their influence, but they might not have the platform like yours, TV. Right. What do you have? What advice do you have for them? Especially they are right now on Instagram. Do you have any tips for them that will help them to build their following and hopefully one day have followers that buy them stuff?
Right. I guess for brands that are looking at like getting, like if you're looking at like real estates or this, yes, I mean, it's always good to have like some professionally taken photos and stuff, but you wouldn't want to get too commercialized because people think it's like, oh, it's a scam or it's like another sponsored post, etc. Yeah. Try to do something more relatable. I mean, for Singapore, at least we have like the Property Lim Brothers and stuff.
You know,
they are very relatable because it's them doing the videos.
So it's more about showing more of themselves on Instagram.
Because at the end of the day, when you're selling a house or insurance or whatever in the sales line, you are not only selling the product, you are selling yourself. That's very the true end of the day. You are selling yourself because there are so many agents out there. Why must I buy from you?
So would you say that what we need to do is have a good look at ourselves and ask ourselves, what is some aspect of our personality that we can accentuate or amplify on social media?
Yes, and always be true to yourself because don't try to be somebody that you are not. Mm. Because at the end of the day, if you're to do, you're trying to act like somebody that you are not, people can feel it even if it's through the screen.
Mm.
Yeah, like I've tried to be like pretentious. I try to be like, oh, I'm up here and there.
Yeah.
And people can feel it as well. They feel it's not authentic. It's not me. Yeah, so always be yourself. You know, sit down and think what you want to do for your brand and how you can bring something to the table for your brand and for yourself.
Got it. I love it. So in other words, go back to think about the 2 to 3 words that we will love of ourselves, that is who we are, and focus on that on Instagram.
Yes.
Because Instagram ultimately is still very much a personal reality show, right?
Correct.
It's all about us.
Yes.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. This is Ben on his upward journey to fame. And I think we love your story and we wish you success in everything that you do. I think if there's one thing I learned from you is that if you truly have a dream, you know, maybe things don't look the way it is, don't look promising right now, but if you keep your eyes and your heart on your goals, eventually you'll get there. Because people around you will help you.
Yes.
Thank you so much for listening to the entire interview. I trust that it was valuable to you. Now, it would mean the world to me if you could write me a review. So, who knows? Your review may be featured in the very next episode. So, what are you waiting for? Go, write a review now. Hashtag highly sought after.